God is doing so many beautiful things today. And these things are not just happening. God is keeping his word. His plans are unfolding. And because of some experiences that God has given to me, I've had many people come and ask, do you know what is going to happen? I said, I have the word of God, the same as everyone else. I don't have any rare insight into what happens in the days ahead. But I thank God that I know what's happening today. Something very exciting is taking place today. And it's something that is no surprise to God at all. Did you know that? They said something that all of a sudden he said, well, you know, I think that those people down there are about ready for a little extra boost. And there's some of them over here and some of them over here. And I think it might be a good idea if I just got this idea now, and I'm going to help them. I'm going to stir it here, and I'm going to do these things. Oh, no. No. God knows what he's doing. And he's following a beautiful plan. Nothing can stop him. All of those things that have been recorded that God has decreed are going to happen. When he speaks, and I'm just going to quote what he definitely told me in an experience I had with him. When he speaks, an irreversible force is set in motion. That nothing can stop. People have the right to choose to join arms, link arms with him, and be blessed. Those who may be associated or in some way tied in with his plans, they've been foreordained to fit in with. But they still have the choice. If they choose not, they will be selling themselves short of what could be a great blessing. But as they say, John, I'm walking with you, they have the right to be a part of the unfolding plan of God. Some of the things I may mention today may stagger your mind, because we inherited a difficult time trying to fit the omnipotent, the unlimited God into our limited understanding. I believe this is one reason why the word tells us that his ways are past finding out. It may be the reason, too, why he said that people are ever learning and never able to fully comprehend. I mentioned it in my class this morning. I'm going to say it again to you here. If we could fully understand God, he wouldn't make a kind of a God we really need. If we could fit all there is about God in these little tiny brains of ours, we'd be soon looking for another God. But God is so big and so vast, and he's doing so many, many things. The words that I've chosen that are so fall so far short of giving you the heart of this message is daily appointed. God has appointed a day. And if standing on that, every day is the fullness of time for some of God's appointments to be fulfilled in different lives. Every day, the appointments come due on his very calendar. In some area, it's happening. Now, in the service today, you folks are here. You may have had somebody invite you, or it might be that you're just in the habit of coming, or it could be that you're visiting in the community, and and that you decide you'd come out and see what's happening here. You heard some strange things. You heard about angels visiting people, and that your mind is a little bit skeptical, and you've come out just to see what is it that's taking place out there. So there might be a lot of different readings. But in God's book, you are to hear. And it's no surprise to me at all. Because God had it marked down a long, long time ago that on the 21st day of January, 1979, that you would be right here in this room. Oh, I'll tell you, I know this, a lot of people struggle with this. And it creates a real theological problem to some. But it doesn't bother God at all. Hallelujah. And when we can somehow grant the truth that God is so much bigger, and that those little guidelines that we think that we follow, that we find even in His Word for us, we're regulated. Man is regulated. The world is regulated by the what is written here, which has been written for man. But you know that God is not regulated by what's been written here? Oh, no. He will honor what He has said here. But God is so much bigger that all this whole room full of books couldn't contain all of the possible option is that God has at His disposal. He's not limited. When we think, well, God, everything that we've tried, we tried everything that You've given us, and we're just stuck because every door is closed. God says, I have 1,000 doors You don't know anything about. Praise God. So, we're going to be talking about that they that have been appointed, or the completeness of God's plan and many, many appointments. I realize that there's room for controversy. I would like for us to consider the details, the plan, even in God's creation, how complete it is. Stop and think about these millions of stars that are out there. I was reading a book not too long ago of some ancient people who had identified certain heavenly bodies. And those heavenly bodies are still right where those people thousands of years ago saw them. They haven't changed. God has everything so complete and so exact that they follow the courses, and time, our clocks, are set by God's heavenly body that He has put there. God is so exact in His planning, and He has appointed these stars. He has set them in their appointed places. Now He says, you stay here, and you stay here, and you stay here, so they're so complete that the farmers can tell you where they're going to be 100 years from now. They can tell you what positions they had thousands of years ago because they're so exact. They follow their appointed course. God is exact in His planning. And it's the same God. If not going to suddenly get sloppy in His planning of her people. All of His beautiful planning and the things that God has done is because He loves people so much. And for us, praise God. His details are so beautiful. His plans are so complete. His timing is so accurate. We would ask, what in the world does God have in mind in what He is doing? In everything that He is doing. His righteousness, His love, His mercy, His faithfulness, everything is seen. I like to think way back to tell you how exact God is in His planning. When He told Noah about the flood, He said, Noah, it's going to praying so many days and so many nights. And yielding to me in that ark is so long, and I'll then turn the faucet off. And the Bible tells us that when Noah was there in the ark, God remembered his promise that he made to Noah. He said, time is up. Gabriel was there, and he said, God, it's time to close the faucet. Me. That was done. God's people were taken into the land of Egypt. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, would you like to take a little look over my shoulder and see what some of your great grandkids are going to be doing? And so God let Abraham look over at his shoulder. And Abraham said, wow, I didn't know I was going to have that many grandkids. As the sands on the seashore, the stars of the heavens. But there were a lot of them. God said they're going to be carried into the land of Egypt, land that is not their own. They're going to serve them for 400 years. And after that, I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand. And I'm going to judge that nation. But they're going to have great spoil. They're going to go out with a lot of property that they picked up while they're in that land that they borrowed from them. The Bible tells us that when the 400 years were up, God remembered Israel. It doesn't say he didn't remember them before, but God's timing is so accurate. And God had stirring the hearts of those people, and they began crying out, and they began getting so restless, and God had it all ready. God heard that, and he put things together. And you remember the story, Israel went to the land of Egypt. God asked Daniel, hey, Daniel, would you like to look over my shoulder and see what's going to happen to the Jewish people? And Daniel says, yeah, I'd like to see that. He said, no, you're not going to understand it, because a lot of these things are for another time down the line a ways, but it might be of interest for you to see some of these things. So he opened up the book, and Daniel took a look. God said, now look here, Daniel. I have reserved here 490 years still for the Jewish people. That's going to be divided into sections. But in this 483 years from a given starting point here, the Messiah is going to come. And he's going to give his life for the sins of the people. Not for himself, but for the sins of the people. It's going to happen. And he said, I'll tell you where it will start, Daniel. After a year long dead, there's going to be a king rise, his name is Cyrus. And he's going to flee these people from a bondage that you don't know anything about. But when he hears the decree, by the way, your city is going to be torn down too, Daniel. But when the days of the decree goes forth, that the city is going to be rebuilt, you can, whoever reads this, your followers, those who've come along later, will know. Those who look back at it will know that from the day the decree is given to rebuild Jerusalem, start counting, there are 483 years till the day that Jesus gives his life. Oh, it was exact on God's calendar. And historians have taken the Jewish calendar and they started counting. They counted the exact days, those 360 day years that it was the divisions that were given there, and it came out end of the day. God, with all you've got to do, how in the world can you keep such accurate books? You've got billions of stars out there. If we got to the end of where those billion are, look, there's probably another 100 billion. And you've got all that to take care of, and still you're this definite in your finding. He said, I saved 7 years still to deal with Daniel's people, but that will be at another time when the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. These are great events, and it is interesting to think of these events. Daniel, when he came into the Jerusalem just before he was to be offered up, he looked at Jerusalem and he began to weep, and he wept, cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you would have known that in this your day, the time of your visitations, that you have been visited from heaven, if only you knew where this is and God's big calendar, you wouldn't be just laying around sleeping. You'd be doing something about it. But you don't know. It's been hidden from your eyes. You haven't seen it." And that was the day that he was talking about, the 483 years being completed for the people of Israel. They still enter. 7 years left, which is still ahead. I'm not giving you a lot of reference here. I'm telling you, you can check it up. Not a can. This is what I'm giving you is definitely a pattern. I'm laying this there, the little platform to sort that thing into your hearts, into your life. I believe will help you. Whenever the Timonier was ready to, and the day approached, or things took place. For example, when Israel was going to leave Egypt, if children of Israel there, the jammed of Guadalajara longer, hags, and the past landscape made it rougher in them, and they began crying out to the Lord, and their cry went to heaven. When Israel was going to come into Jerusalem that day, it was getting real close, and it was predicted that Jesus would come into the city on a colt that had never been ridden on yet. God takes care of all of the details. So, and Jesus knew all about it because he had taken a look at those books before he came down. So he told the disciples, he said, "I want to be going into Jerusalem now." And he said, "I want you to prepare the Passover and in the preparations, I want you to go into the city. And I want you to borrow the little colt there." So when he told them, "Well, you'll know which one it is by a few workers here." Now here are the indications. He said, "You will see a man carrying a pitcher of water on his head." Oh, there's battle. He, Jesus, and can create hell again. Men there carry water. That's a junk for the ladies. Ladies always carry the pitchers on, and I don't know if they still do or not, but Jesus said, "So that you'll know, God has arranged this so particularly that there's a man that's been practicing for about a year down there so he could balance that pitcher on his head. And this is because God's getting everything already here." So he said, "When you see a man with a pitcher of water on his head, you'll know it'll be evidence to you that I'm telling you something that couldn't just happen. Because men just don't do that. Their heads are in the wrong shape for one reason. They just don't want to do it for another." But then he said, "When you'll see this colt tied. When you see the command. And so I want you to go and untie the colt and bring him to me." Now somebody's going to ask you, "What are you stealing the colt for?" And all you'll need to say to them is, "The master has need of him." And he's going to say, "Okay, I'm going to even prepare the heart so he won't turn you into the fleece." God had every little old detail prepared. And it was so complete in God's book can't this complete as if it already happened? So when he mounted that little colt, never been ridden before, the colt, you know how colts are, horse colts, would probably give you a rough time. That's just broken. I don't know how mule colts are, but I know that if they're anything like their parents, they're probably pretty stubborn. Jesus got on this colt and started into Jerusalem, and God said, "Foot." Hundreds of years before, they let the prophet see it, and the prophet wrote down that there would be a great welt on the Hosanna as Jesus passed into his ground. And so it was already recorded in heaven. God let him see it, take a look at it. So when Jesus started in, all the people saw him coming, and there was something also heard up in their heart. The Lord had already made separation, and here they were all over the place, and they found palm branches. They took their coats, and they laid it out in front of him. And here he was, a great king, coming in for coronation. And the people were really holding their breath, and they looked at the hires. Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. These people, a lot of the religious leaders around, there were a few Pentecostal preachers who had not get used to the supernatural. A few Baptist Methodists, some people who just can't stand emotionalism, stood around there and they said, that, you know, I think we better form a committee here and send them over and tell Jesus that this is doing the stuff to religion back 50 years. Maybe more. These people out here doing this. Well, they came to Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, tell these people to be quiet. They're doing their rubber." Did you ever kind of feel that way in a church where people got a little too excited? I know some of you may have friends where you had some real fine, dignified businessmen here in the community. Come out here and the pastor gets a little bit excited. I wish he had picked another day to do that. I have my friend here today, and he says, after all, we kind of abhor emotionalism. Look, he's getting a little too emotional there. You know, that's the way some of these people felt. But you know what Jesus told these people? He said, "It's too late to stop it. It's already written down, God's big book up there. It was recorded before we ever made this whole earth. It's all written down. It's all recording. That today, doubts went up that the king was coming." And then when God speaks, that irreversible force goes forth. Nothing can stop. Jesus said, "That's already within here." And as these people hold their peace, why the only thing left around is all these rocks. He said, "These rocks will cry out, but it'll have to happen. But have to happen." Brilliant. God keeps his appointments. He marked them down. He took them. There he really takes where he has recorded the appointment in the Word. He's the preparation for the day to happen, the event to happen. There were a lot of things moving around, falling into place. There's another great appointment. It's called our day. The great daily and the revelation of Jesus Christ to people. Great daily when he's going to say, "Hey, come up higher. I've got something planned for you." And in preparation for that day, he has the angels of heaven out working overtime. He's stirring people's hearts. They're feeling things going on that we never felt before. There are clients going out. There are people turning to the Lord that nobody even talked to about the Lord. That things are happening today. Things are moving. There's a shifting. There's a moving. In a place, there's a corona in people's hearts. Here completely. For me, you know what it is? That day is almost here. Jesus is coming. There's a day that's appointed. There's a day that's appointed. Paul said, "I'm not afraid. I know the one that's going to be present on that day." and he will keep on all the things that I committed to him. I don't have to be afraid. There are a lot of people haven't committed anything to him yet. They're going to be stumbling because he tells us that there's coming a time when every knee is going to bow, every tongue confess to God. These days are coming, and they're really not very far off. I like what Paul tells us over in the 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, where he tells us that this is a day, there is a special day for the believer, a day when God has chosen to gather together and say, he thanks for all you have done. That day is coming. But there, every living person and every person who is dead had an appointment made for them. You know that there is even an appointment that God has made with you for death? The day when you'll go into his presence? It was 9:27. He tells us that it is appointed. We know that man is going to die, but it's appointed for him to die. And in God's great calendar, it's there. When you link arms with God, Satan may growl and roar around you. There's much he can do, because God has a plan. I've taken quite a little time here to tell you about these great big appointments that are going to happen and take place. And there are a lot of people who will accept this. But I'm going to boil this right down and focus attention on an individual life. Those things that happened in your life each day as you walk with God don't just happen. Everything that takes place in your life, they're just staggering. There's so many questions you could ask me that I don't know how to answer. But in knowing God as I know I am, I know that those details of your life are all planned by God. He knows her. He knows you were going to be here today. He knows the question marks that you have within. He heard you say, well, I really should find God sometime, but when? He's heard this. But God, in his great planning, he doesn't force people. He does not predestine people to be saved, but he foreordains. He said, in my plan, here is what I have chosen for you. You can choose to move with me and link arms with me, walk with me, and the world will never be sorry. Or you can choose to go your own way. Doesn't mean that he's writing you off. But he said, I would like to have given you so much better than what you've done. But you've chosen many to go your own way. His planning is so meticulous, so complete, it's beyond our understanding. But it is sure. Praise God forever. There's some verses here in Acts 15, verse 13 to 18, and I'd like to read to you. It's all right if we have the text last in it. I don't want anybody to go away and say, hey, the pastor preached the whole message without a text. I've got a little text here for you. Acts 15, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. You see, they had a summit conference here to decide how much God knew about people and his planning. They thought maybe he was jumping in a few things on him. They had this summit conference. But James, who was the general superintendent, spoke to them And he said, men and brethren, hearken to me. Simon hath declared how God hath pushed his visit to Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof. I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all of these things. I want you to underline in your Bible this, a little phrase, who doeth all of these things. God has a plan and operation, and he is keeping track of it, and he is fulfilling it. God, who doeth all of these things. He's talking about fulfilling his plan, the tabernacle, the temple in Jerusalem, the time to be rebuilt, the time of the Gentiles when they will call upon God, those who will call the name Jesus and align up with him. He's bringing himself. And then verse 18. This is a very important verse. It said, I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled for years before I could actually accept this because I thought it was too hard for God. I don't know why I was trying to make it easy for God. But there are a lot of other people trying to make it easy for him. We've got to figure it out. If we somehow, by logic, can figure out how God can do it, if our analytical minds can somehow equate what he's doing with him, he can do it. But if we can't equate it, it's somehow beyond our understanding. Well, God, you just can't do that. And I suppose that was a position that I took. It took me a long time. And I had so many explanations for this verse 18, you can't believe it. But none of them were real satisfying. I couldn't look in the mirror and say, hey, Buck, if you're honest and sincere about this, I'd have to say, if there were enough. Trying to cover up for God. You don't have to cover up for him. Listen to it. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning of the world. Hallelujah. He knows you. He knows what's going on. Praise the name of the Lord. All of these events he has spoken, and they have to happen. Praise God. I haven't gone back to an experience that God gave me for a long time. I haven't mentioned it here in this our Sunday morning service. I have reviewed it a little in some of my other smaller services. But 2 years ago, this is the closest Sunday to it. 2 years ago, January of 1977, God took me into the throne room of heaven. I have some tapes out here that tell about this. But that experience was so fresh, I see, so awesome, that I even when I gave it on that tape, just after that experience, I gave it so reluctantly and so haltingly, because God had said that I could not give certain areas unless he released them. Allowed me to do it because of the impact that they would have. But in this experience, one of the greatest things that God allowed me to see were the record books of Haman. And it was so vast. Every individual had a book. And God talked to me about this. I could not see God face to face. I was aware of a great light there. But I never once even had the urge to look to see him, because I was so engrossed in other things, and this type of desire was gone. God spoke with me, and I know he knew my heart. And I said, God, I feel that the great events that you've mentioned in the Bible, you have them planned in detail, like the great plan that you have of salvation. Plans for Israel, plan for your church, you have those in detail. And then people who are part of these plans, you have them in detail. This was something that I had kind of put together so I could live with it, you know. So when God said, because I made reference in the Bible, like to Cyrus in Psalm in Isaiah chapter 44, I made reference to Cyrus there and to some of these others, doesn't mean that they're the only ones. I just happened to pull theirs out as a little reminder to the things that were going to happen, as a little confirmation. But that does not mean that these are the only ones that whose lives I have planned. God let me know then that he kept records, or his plan book included a plan for every life, and that he has a set of records that also are the records, complete records of every life. But as I looked at, they've been asked, record, can you imagine plan books for billions and billions of people? My head, my research, it was too much for me. Here, let me see the Apostle Paul. He said, just see how accurately it's planned. God laying out his plan before him, even as a small child, before he was born. He created him with a great big brain capacity so that he'd learn real fast. Because God said, I have planned for Paul that he will speak to kings and rulers and men in authority. And then I want him to write a good, clear picture of my plan. But that's what I have planned for him. So it all happened just the way God said it would happen. Well, I saw these, and I was staggered. And you'll probably notice in that tape, as you hear it, my visit to the throne room, how I was staggered as I saw this. Then God spoke to me and said, this is too much for you. It's too vast. But I have a complete plan for every life. And I'm going to pull a book that you'll be know a little more about, that'll have you'll be able to relate to a little more. And I saw him pull out the record or the plan, the blueprint of the person whose name was R.H. Buck. And I wanted to look and see who all was in that. It was a dandy book. There's a lot of things there. And he said, he wouldn't let me see. He said, you can take it yourself. It's in there. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write down, I mean, a bunch of the things that are there. It'll happen in just a little short span, but I'll write out about 120 of them. And then when they happen, there will be a confirmation to you. It's what I'm talking to you about. It doesn't mean that everything I write down is all that's going to happen. There'll probably be 10,000 details that happen for each one that you know about. But I am going to put these down. And I tell you, my mind was so staggered. God gave me that paper, and as I looked at it with these 120 things on, there were names, dates, there were events, there were people. About 20 of these things had dates on and they would happen. Some of them had paragraphs describing in detail what was going to happen. And I looked at that, and as I looked at it, and I was going to read it, but I didn't have to read it. It was like a photograph, taking a picture, and it was burned out in my mind. And right now, as I bring this to my mind, I can see every detail on that paper. And God spoke to me about that. I asked him, God, what about other people that don't know about these things, that you haven't written something out, Is your planning just as complete for them? God so lovingly spoke to me and said, theirs is just as complete, though they may not know about it. It's just as complete for right here for everyone. Praise God. I'm not going into a lot of detail except on this. That those things began happening in sequence. Boy, they were on that paper. One after the other. Things that were staggering. But the first few days, I sat down with, I have notebooks, that I, little ones that I was writing sermon thoughts in and so on, and I jotted down some of the things. I jotted down some on other papers that I have there, and I'm amused. How can these things be? They're so vast. They're so great. Because I didn't have the paper any longer. God didn't want people worshiping a paper that he had sent down from heaven. It had turned to ashes. Then he had caused the ashes to evaporate. At least 500 people saw the ashes of this paper, even as they were evaporating. It took 2.5 weeks. They were all gone. This is included on that paper were the deaths of some people. The day they were going to die, it happened just exactly like God had it down. My trip to Europe last year was on there. Didn't do a thing. God said, let me handle my own business. When you know something's about to happen, you're getting a little bit edgy, you know, and want to help make it happen. Then my trip to the Philippine Islands, it was on there. I was really edgy about that one, because it took so long to get things going. I thought, well, God, you need a little help here. But I kept from helping them out. The name of Harold Wojtyla, the new Pope, John Paul II, was on that. It was on that 20 months before anybody else knew who it was going to be. God knew it because he had planned it a long time before. And he'd even prepared that man with the living sound going to Europe and him participating in the great rallies at the end there. The restoration of diplomatic relations with Red Kynef was on that paper. Long time before people knew it. And I wrote down some things that were on the paper, read it just recently, and said not to panic, for be upset by what had happened, because God was allowing the door to be opened afresh so that he can get the gospel light through to the darkened millions. Lord, he knows what he's doing. Praise God. But the thing that's been hard for me part of the time has been God said, don't release this until he gave me a release in my heart. One of the things that I mentioned just recently, when I spoke with you, I said there were three things that were in the process of happening, but I couldn't tell you. You remember that? Some of you recall this. Just recently, I told you this. And by giving it, I can see where it'd be like saying, he that rose is about ready to open. I see that button. You know it's about ready to open. I get my son's on now. Just pull it open. And I know there's a flower in there, but by the time I get it open, I wonder where the flower is. Because I know it's there, but when I let it open by itself, then it has a beautiful flower. About 2 months ago, I saw one of these things start to happen. And I had a little urge. I'd like to tell somebody, but I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because I would have liked to maybe have said, hey, it's moving now. Now I can take it and run with it. But I could have ruined everything. Sometimes it seems like God gets a little slow, though. Don't know what he's going to do. But you remember the mentioning of a couple of the band members from this Harwater band, and except for the Lord, Yesterday, God cracked a fulfillment. One of these things that was there, and I was telling you, it was partly we're working. God, and it doesn't mean that these things are more important than other things, but to me, it's a confirmation of what he had put down, you see. Yesterday, that whole van was in my office. Right on schedule. Praise God. That was the next number up. They were there. They don't know about this yet, but me, I didn't tell them. But I did talk to them. It's an individual thing, and let them know. And they, each one, opened their heart individually. Let Christ in. Now they're wanting to get some gospel music. They're wanting to change what they're doing. They've served the devil long enough, and they have had quite a following in the area. But they have asked for an off night here at the church, or Friday night, or sometime when they can let the whole community that knows what they've done from the devil. They want to have a meeting here where they can. Where they can sing some gospel songs, and then they want to tell all of those people that knew how they lived for the devil, they want to tell them what God can do. Hallelujah. Glory's God. Hallelujah. I know it's staggering when we see how God is able and has all the equipment that's necessary to put together every detail, even though those details are so difficult. They seem impossible. Think of all of them multiplied by all these billions. But every day is the fullness of times, and with your arm linked in God's, it's an appointed day between you and God. Well, you're sitting right out here today is because you're here. God brought you here. It was written down before God ever made this earth that today you're here. This afternoon, God has some things he's going to bring into your life. Tomorrow, there's going to be people brought across your pathway. God has foreordained you for a very special time. And what's it all coming to? There are these. As I said, the great big plans and God's big appointments, and that big appointment that's coming is that time is running out for this whole world. God has other plans, and he's starting to stir people, moving them together. You're here today because as part of God's great feast. How's that make you feel? You're part of what God's doing. Praise God. Let's just stand and lift our hands toward heaven. I want you to thank God. From the bottom of your heart, God has included you in his plans. That he has appointed this. He's appointed this. Those things you thought just happened in your life, didn't just happen. God appointed them for you. Praise God. Lift those hands. Thank him. If you've never known him before, say, God, here I am. If you care this much about me, long before you knew him, God knew you. He brought you to this place. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day, dear Lord, that we could stand in your presence. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you, God, that you've cared for us. Praise thy name. We look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. How we love you. How we love you. Praise God. Not only is this day appointed, not only is that day appointed when we shall be gathered home and stand with him, but for those who refuse and reject. The word tells us there is coming a day when every person in this whole universe that has ever lived is going to stand before God. That day is coming. There may be some today here. You felt it. Serving God was optional. You could do it or not do it. That bowing before Him, accepting Him, was an optional thing. That if you rejected Him, you would never have to face Him. But the Word tells us that there's coming a time when every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess to God. Either we will do it now, and it will do us some good, when we can link arms with Him and be a part of what He's doing, or we'll be on that day when men stand before Him in judgment. I just want to challenge you. I just want to challenge you. In your right mind, do that thing that's fair to your soul by linking arms with Him, because He cares for you so much. Praise God. All that He is doing in the world today is because He loves people so much, because He wants people. There may be some here today, you've been questioning about your own heart, your own relationship with God, but you feel such a tug, such a stirring, and you realize that today God has spoken to you. Why don't you move right into the aisle and come running up here? I know that God will see that eagerness of your heart. He's going to meet you. God has spoken to you. There may be something. You're not sure. You've not answered the question. You haven't said, God, here I am. You haven't accepted Him. But you want to accept Him today. There's a lot of different ways. God isn't particular whether we're here, whether you're in the seat or whether you're home or whether you're on a job. But I believe that you could show Him today how much you appreciate Him by just coming out in front of all your friends, the people that are here, and God, here I am.